Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the memory of all the saints. This is the day in which everyone who is in heaven is commemorated. Saints that have some prominent role in the life of the church or the church wishes to hold up as a special example are listed on the calendar, and some of them have services written for them. But on this day, we commemorate all those saints, which may include many relatives of your own, but if anyone's in heaven, they're among the saints. And this being Father's Day, I thought it would be appropriate to talk a little bit about the role that fathers play in our lives and in our salvation, because for most of us, the arena in which we began our spiritual life was in the home that we grew up in. And for those that have converted as adults, the arena in which you will continue to work out your salvation is in your own family. And even those that choose monasticism, they work out their salvation in the context of a family in which spiritual fatherhood plays a significant role. Psalm 77, verses 1 through 8 says, "Give heed, O my people, to my law. Incline your ear unto the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter dark sayings which have been from the beginning, even those things that we have heard and have known and which our fathers have told us. They were not hidden from their children in another generation. They declared the praises of the Lord and of his mighty acts and his wonders which he wrought. And he raised up a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, even those things he had commanded our fathers to make the same known unto their children, that another generation might know, even the sons about to be born, that they in turn might arise and declare unto them unto their sons, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but seek after his commandments, that they might not be as their fathers, a generation perverse and provoking, a generation that set not their heart aright, and which kept not their spirit steadfast with God." In these verses, we have very positive references to fathers, but then we have a negative reference, which is, it talks about the fathers that sin. And if we think about our own fathers, in most cases, there's some mixture of a good example and a bad example. If you're fortunate, you have a father who is generally a very good example. Or, in a worst-case scenario, you may have a father who was a very bad example. Even among the holiest of fathers, you probably could find some fault, some shortcoming. And even among the worst fathers, you could probably find some virtue that they had that was worthy of some admiration or praise. It's the job of the father to instruct the children in the faith. That's what he's supposed to do. And if you had a good father who was a believer, that's exactly what he did. Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting with verse 18, says, "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth." What the prophet Moses was telling them, he was using figurative language, but he talked about how they should bind them as a sign on their hands and as frontlets between their eyes. Now, the Jewish practice, of course, took this very literally. And so they tied phylacteries that had little boxes with the scriptures written inside them, and they would bind them to their foreheads and to their arms before they would pray. And they literally had little boxes called mezuzahs that they put on their doorposts that also had the scriptures in them. But the purpose of this passage is not that we fulfill that passage literally, but that figuratively speaking, that the living the scriptures be that prominent in our life. And that also we teach our children the right way. It says when we sit down and when we walk by the way, when we lie down and when we rise up. There's really not any time during the day that doesn't fall into those categories. Basically every waking moment you as a father or as a mother, as the case may be, should be looking for those opportunities to teach your children the faith. You shouldn't assume that it's all going to happen on Sunday morning during Sunday school or during the sermon. It's something that's your responsibility as a parent. And of course, a father should be a good example. A father should take very seriously his role in the home, because a father represents God to people in a certain sense. Their concept of God as father is influenced by their earthly father. And that can be for good or for bad. There are many people who have a hard time relating to God as father because of the bad example of their fathers, and that's something to be overcome rather than a blessing that's been bestowed upon them. And so for fathers, it's very important that we try to be that blessing to our children by our example. But the children also have a duty to their father, and of course, as I mentioned, one of their duties is to emulate their virtues and not their vices. But more than that, regardless of how our fathers might have been in terms of their example, we have an obligation to honor them. Honor thy father and thy mother is one of the Ten Commandments, and as St. Paul points out, it's the first commandment that has attached to it a promise. The book of Ecclesiasticus goes into some detail talking about our duty to honor our father. It says in chapter 3, beginning with verse 2, "For the Lord hath given the father honor over the children, and hath confirmed the authority of the mother over the sons. Whoso honoreth his father maketh an atonement for his sins, and he who honoreth his mother is as one that layeth up treasure. Whoso honoreth his father shall have joy of his own children, and when he maketh his prayer, he shall be heard. He that honoreth his father shall have a long life, and he that is obedient unto the Lord shall be a comfort to his mother. He that feareth the Lord will honor his father and will do service unto his parents as to his masters. Honor thy father and mother both in word and deed, that a blessing may come upon thee from them. For the blessing of the father establisheth the houses of children, but the curse of the mother rooteth up foundations. Glory not in the dishonor of thy father, for thy father's dishonor is no glory unto thee. For the glory of a man is from the honor of his father, and a mother in dishonor is a reproach to the children. My son, help thy father in his age, and grieve him not as long as he liveth. And if his understanding fail, have patience with him, and despise him not when thou art in thy full strength. For the relieving of thy father shall not be forgotten, and instead of sins, it shall be added to build thee up. In the day of thine afflictions it shall be remembered. Thy sins also shall melt away as the ice in the fair warm weather." It's a great blessing that a godly father can be to their family, to their children. It's also a great blessing to children to honor their father regardless of the virtues or vices of their father, because there's a blessing to be had in doing that. The home is a small church, the fathers tell us, and the father should be the priest of that church. Very often it winds up being the wife who kind of has to drag the husband, but that's not the way that it should be. It should be the husband that takes the lead and does so in a loving way. And most wives appreciate that and really desire that the husband take that lead. And there have been studies that have been conducted that have shown that in families where the mother is the one who is religious and the father is not, that there's a very small, although not insignificant, percentage of those children that are likely to grow up and be regular church attenders. But when the opposite is true, when it's the father who is the one that's faithful, the wife is the one that's less religious, the percentages are something like in the 80 percentile. And of course, when you have both parents that are faithful, that's the ideal situation. That's the way that it should be. But when children see their father being faithful, it has a profound impact on them. So we need to take that responsibility seriously. And if we haven't had that kind of home life ourselves, we need to try to create it for our own children. O God, with our ears have we heard, for our fathers have told us the work which thou hast wrought in their days, in the days of old. Amen.